Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is a podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspective. All right. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very different kind of mini episode. As you all know, Keegan is back home right now for the Black Arts Alliance of Southwest Missouri performance. So I have decided to invite some other ladies of the podcasting universe here to join me. And today, instead of hearing just the usual news of what's going on, we are going to be hearing some news of what's going on in a phrase that I really hate, but I have to say, Bachelor Nation. Today, I am joined by the hilarious duo Jenna and Danica, or as I like to refer to them, Janica, from the Date Card Podcast. Hello, Jenna and Danica.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. How are you all doing today? Welcome.
A different kind of fresh hell, I think, today.
A different kind of normal. Fresh hell.
Yeah, it's a refreshing Sunday kind of hell in my universe. I don't want to speak for Jenna.
Well, but yeah, mine's been pretty horrible, to be honest. Because I loved when you said that, or you're like, oh, I don't want to say Bachelor Nation. Yeah, Bachelor Nation is a vibe completely.
I feel peak white girl when I say Bachelor Nation. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like I've reached, like, the peak of my, like, most basic level. You know what I mean? But there's nowhere else, like, there's nothing else to call it. That's just what it is. It's become this whole, like, world amongst itself. So
yeah.
Before we get into all of that craziness, though, mm-hmm. So why don't you tell everybody a bit about yourselves, about your show, whatever you want to share, share it.
My name is Jenna, and I started Date Card Pod like almost 3 years ago when Becca Kupferin's season started, and I was floundering alone, and I met Danica.
It's hard.
Yeah, I met Danica on a different podcast fandom Facebook group for a podcast called My Brother, My Brother and Me.
What's My Brother, My Brother and Me?
It's a comedy kind of improv podcast that is an advice podcast. And it's three brothers from the Midwest. And it's just, like, silly, funny goofiness. And
that's awesome.
Danica found me on that page because I was talking about something, I think Bachelor-related, and she, like, slid into the DMs like a total slut and was like, hey, let's talk.
No. I slid into the DMs because you were horny.
Yeah.
You were posting about Good Boy Watch,
yes,
which had happened a year prior.
Yeah.
So Good Boy Watch was, like, a live event that the brothers did here in Portland when we could still go outside.
Right.
And
by the way, I've always wanted to go to Portland. I'm so jealous that you live there. Continue.
Portland is fine. So Jenna was doing, I think, merch or something that night. And like she met, and see, this is where I should have just stopped and abandoned you completely. You met some dude there and you were like, yeah, I would like to have a beer with this person. And he was like flirting with you. And then you were... You use, like, the hashtag, like, Good Boy Watch, and, like, a bunch of people, like, retweeted it. Like, it was retweeted by Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I remember seeing it the year prior, and I didn't know that this was, like, a Portland thing.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
And so I just, you know, I was horny for attention, so I was just like, please be my friend.
Yes.
And then we found the similar connection in The Bachelor, and I found out that she was doing a podcast.
I love it.
And I invited her over one night, like, a total just, like, oh, yeah, she won't kill me. She's a stranger online, but she lives in my town. Please come to my house, my apartment.
You invited her to your home?
Yeah, I invited her to my apartment.
Jenna.
To get drunk on wine and watch The Bachelor and record a podcast. And it was just like fucking...
Match made in heaven.
And I was like, give my first impression rose to this bitch right now. And I made her come back every other week. And then eventually I was like, you're here forever. And we've been podcasting now for 2.5 years, I'd say. It's the best ever. It's also the worst. It's Date Card Pod is it's
you guys put beautiful. A lot of work outside of podcasting into this. So I'm gonna talk about how I found y'all really quick. So I am new to watching The Bachelor like within the last couple of years. But I don't half-ass anything, I whole-ass everything. So I got, like, super into The Bachelor and, like, following all these pages and following the hashtag and wanting to know all the spoilers and Reality Steve and, like, just all of that stuff. Like, I got very into it. And so I think I, like, saw... It was probably a video of Jenna talking about some crazy, like... story that I never would have
as
heard
I do.
Of because I just watched The Bachelor. Like, I don't know all of, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff. So, of course, me...
being like the kind of like creepy person that I am, that's like what's really going on, I started kind of like watching your videos and following you guys and, you know, thought you were wonderful. And also, I think probably started sliding into your DMs as well, being a thirsty bitch during this pandemic. I was just telling them how, you know, I have never been a person to like want to befriend someone online or on social media. Like, I've always just kind of like, you know, I just have my friends in life or whatever. But during the pandemic, I've just felt so lonely.
Yeah.
And I've started reaching out to more people, but I've loved it. Like, I've made so many great friends on the internet that mm-hmm. just have like things in common with me that my friends in other parts of my life don't have with me. Yeah. So
I mean, here's the thing,
the
Bachelor world is really toxic. We'll get into it. It's incredibly toxic and it's incredibly sexist and all the things. But there is a large population of people who watch it, who watch it with a critical eye and like a feminist eye, and who you mix with those people. They are our people, you know? And so when I think like last year we kind of started pivoting, we were always a podcast that like called out the bullshit, but when we started doing it more online, we lost some followers, of course, but what we gained was an entire community of people who wanted to have a dialogue about the problematic aspects of it.
Totally.
And then also just a dialogue in general as fans. Like, we have people in the one DM stream who's like, fuck this, is racist, to like, oh my god, what do you think like Mike's doing today? You know, like, these people are committed to it in the way that we are as well.
Yes.
And it's a special beautifulness.
It is, and you need that, because like everybody who watches a show like The Bachelor watches it for like different reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think when I started watching it, like, it was very much like, I did, like, I knew they were people, but it was kind of like, oh, this is probably so produced and like whatever. So it wasn't until I started watching it more and kind of getting invested in these people's lives too that I was like, this is like serious stuff that we need to be talking about, because this shit is not okay. Like, these women should not be skiing in their bikinis for this one man. I'm not okay with this. And all of the boys are just the most like white bread, boring motherfuckers in the world. Mm-hmm. Okay, so before I forget, plug anything you want to plug. Oh, throw at us your Instagram, where we can find your podcast, where you live. I'm just kidding. Don't share that.
I don't know my address, famously.
Like, wow.
I moved in like August, and when I ordered Christmas presents, I got the address wrong on like literally half of them and had to reorder shit over and over again because
So then you should share your address, because it's going to be wrong anyways. And then when people come to find you, they'll be disappointed. I see. Yeah. I understand. All right. So give us where we can find you.
You can follow us on Instagram at DateCardPod. We also have a Twitter that I don't know the handle of, but it's probably something similar. Awesome. And we do have a Patreon that we started in January of this year, where we post extra memes, lots of fodder from Jenna about stuff that I don't know is true, but I just let her go off because, you know, sister, I get it. I hear you. And we post bonus episodes, and we do, you know, some, like, streams with our friends, which have been pretty special.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we were talking the other day, you were talking about an interview that you were doing for Patreon as well. Yes. So it sounds like you've got some kind of, like, extra
stuff. Yeah, we're trying to make that area special and different and the same, but just, like, you know.
Yeah, it's for, like, it's Patreon to me always seems like it's, like, your closest friends.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like the things that you would, like, you share everything with, you know, the general population, mm-hmm. but then your closest friends are going to come in to kind of want to know more about you or about, you know, the show and things like that. Where should we even start? Should we start with what's going on in this season currently? And what I really want to know what you think of Matt James as a bachelor. Not really as a person, but as like a bachelor, do you think? Because I think he's handling things pretty well as far as getting rid of some of the toxicity. Sure. But I'm curious as to what your perceptions are of him.
I think the answer to that is really complicated, mm-hmm. For a number of reasons. Because, like, I guess we had so long to sit with the fact that he was The Bachelor before his season aired, and we mm-hmm. really got to see, like, a lot of behaviors that sort of, like, informed how we view him now. So it was a lot of, like, COVID partying, and...
Yes.
You know, just, like, lots of, like, little things that made us, you know, like, kind of weary of him in the first place. And also, we're coming off of Colton being the Bachelor and Peter being the Bachelor. So, like, in that regard, this has been...
In that regard, he is, like, above head and beyond. Shoulders above everybody else. Yeah,
breath
exactly.
Breath of fresh air, truly.
Yeah.
But he still kind of behaves in similar, like, just... I mean, it's like, it's almost like
he responds like he's an athlete, which he was. Like, you know, I feel like a lot of his responses to things are very, like, politically correct or, like, the way you're supposed to say it because he doesn't want to, like, say the wrong thing. He also seems really uncomfortable to me. Like, he seems like he'd be shy in any other circumstance and he's, like, out of his element. I don't know. Yeah. That's just how I feel.
Jenna, what are you thinking about Matt?
So I mean, far. I think Danica is correct on a lot of, I mean, we just had so much time to sit with it. He's never been on the show before, so there's a lot of just like...
Okay, but that drives me crazy. I'm sorry to cut you off, but yeah. No one's been on the show before.
No, like, but one's been a lead, though. No one's been a lead been not on, having
but,
been
but
on the show.
But they've been on the show before, so like... They know, like, Peter was on Hannah's season, so he knows how it goes, like, in a little bit and things like that, but you've never been the lead before.
Yeah, but I think you just, to me, it's kind of like... There is a vibe of just being in the system of it all.
I guess.
That I think, did you know he had that going against him, per se. But also, it's more of a perception of the audience and how we're gonna see him. You know, if you get to see them the entire pre-season, you know, the previous season, you get a certain vibe, and you get an edit, and we didn't get that. And so the only edit we got to see of Matt was what we got to see of him outside of the show, which was his friend with Tyler Cameron, who also is not that great of a dude. We all fell for him in Hannah's season.
I got so heartbroken.
When you found out that he's a turd? Yeah.
I don't remember what it was that came out, but it was recent, and I think I posted it on our podcast story because I was so upset about it. Like, Tyler C. was, like, the one for me where I'm like, well, and Mike Johnson. Like, those two for me
were Mike Johnson's like, perfect, and he'll never do
never
anything wrong.
Never be problematic.
Yeah, but Tyler... I'm worried. Yeah, Tyler's... He's not... Great. And so you just, the combos are these two bros that are out there smashing beer cans in their heads. There's the whole MAGA element follows them wherever they go. We can't,
we can't
deny that they are MAGA, but we also can't prove that they are either. But when you can't deny it either, that's not a great vibe. And so, you know, it's hard. And our podcast has really focused a lot on the political elements of these people this last year. Cause I mean, the election was one of the most important ones we've ever experienced.
Right.
So for me and Danica to, like, ignore those elements to the contestants and their – it's just hard not to do. You know, like, it's their characters and their people on a television show, but they're also real people. And if they want to go online and say, I'm a real person, treat me as a real person, I'm like, okay, I'm going to. And I'm also going to take what you do politically and socially politically and how you treat other people also into how I view you as a member of this Bachelor Nation. So
– yeah.
And I think that's a hard thing for some people to do for obvious reasons.
It's interesting because that actually kind of brings me to thinking about Anna on this most. Yeah. So this episode is going to go up this coming Friday. So there will be another Bachelor episode. Mm-hmm. Our time tomorrow will be going up and all that kind of stuff. So to us right now, the last episode was kind of when Matt got rid of like all of the problematic women in the house for the most part. All of them. Not all of them. But I was thinking about Anna.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about cancel culture. Because I think that while it's important to, you know, call people out or call people in, as, you know, Keegan and I like to say, like, if we make a mistake, like, don't yell at us. Tell us where we got it wrong and we want to fix ourselves and make it better. And I think that's kind of the thing with the show is that, like, when I was watching Anna last week on the show live, I didn't feel bad for her in any way, but I only thought, like, I hope that she learns from this. I hope that there's something that she can take from this because I don't want her to be canceled. You know what I mean? If this person can learn and grow and be a better person, then she should be treated, you know, and talked to, you know, kindly and respectfully. Now, before we recorded the last couple of days, I've been kind of looking up more Bachelor headlines than I usually do. I was kind of digging into the contestants more than I normally would. And they, from my understanding, again, I'm new into digging deep into all the Bachelor stuff. So it looks like Women Tell All was being recorded recently.
Yeah.
So they didn't have their phones. And then they got their phones back. And it was like the first post since the episode, and she
is maskless said, with friends.
Yeah, she's just with friends or whatever. And sorry for those, I just realized I started talking about Anna and this whole circumstance without talking about the context of all of this. Anna is one of the contestants on The Bachelor. There was a group of new girls that came in like 5 episodes in or whatever, which is just messy. I did not agree so with that messy. Situation. But these two were both living in Chicago. So Anna was saying like, oh, I've gotten messages from people like, look out for this girl. She entertains men for money. She's an escort. Like, that's the worst thing you could possibly be in the entire world. And she's got this shit-eating grin on her face the whole time. And so the things that she did is horrible. Like, it made me want to punch my television screen and break it. But at the same time, I appreciated the fact that Matt handled it in a way that I think was helpful for the viewer to at least be like, look, I don't think you're a horrible person. Even though me at the TV screen, I'm like, you're a fucking horrible person. Yeah. Like, you know, at the time. But I appreciated at least that he took that opportunity to kind of broaden the perspective a little bit, because I think it's also really easy when we watch these shows to see what we see on TV and think that that's just how they are all the time.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It, you know, all negative qualities, all things like that. Now, with that being said, since, you know, her first post back to Instagram had nothing to do with any of her behavior, that to me speaks volumes.
I agree with you. I also think that there's, you know, a way to look at it where it's like, I mean, like, Jenna and I have very complicated feelings about cancel culture. I don't believe it. I think it's more of an accountability thing at this point. And it's just like, you know, like, if you do things like that, maybe people don't trust you as much anymore. And that's, you know, you
did something that
broke trust.
Yeah.
And you have to prove through actions and whatever else that you're a trustworthy person. That said, she also turned off all of her comments for that week. There's no way to get a hold of her. But I see why she did that, because if we're looking at the majority of Bachelor Nation, they're not calling her in any way. They're just like, you stupid bitch, how could you know, like,
it's the pitchforks and stakes. Right. You know, it's not like a kind conversation.
Yeah, it's the toxicity of the whole, you know, enterprise.
Yeah.
Totally.
Coming at her for probably the wrong reasons and in the wrong way. So, like, not even saying that we're right or that we're the most level-headed people, but it's just, like, the lesson here is, like, you know,
have be accountable.
You taken the time to learn about, like, how sex work is real work, and, like, why would you say that about somebody? And, you know, like, if it's not proven to be true, and, like, I mean, she's learning an uncomfortable lesson, I guess, but did she really learn it? Like, I can't tell.
That's the thing that I'm hoping comes out of, I mean, most of the seasons that I've watched, there's always that person where it's just that hope that it's like, I hope that you watch this and get some therapy and start to realize that your actions affect other people. You know, like, I think that this show definitely attracts and wants those people that are obviously going to stir up controversy. And those people are typically going to be ones that don't always have the same views as people like you and I would and things like that. And that's what makes the show so, like, crazy making. And that's the whole point of it, you know?
The more I get deeper into it, the more it's just so obvious that the show is a complete mirror of our society and all of the good and the bad.
That's a great point.
More bad than good, I suppose. But, you know, we have progressive moments. We have the steps we've taken in the last couple of years that have gotten better because of accountability and asking the franchise to do better. But all of the negative things, while incredibly harmful and not great, are showing the world what is going on. And I think Matt, you know, broadening his, like, when he let her go home, it was just, he was doing good for talking about how this is not okay. And then when he talks to Victoria about how, like, you don't say the word ho in any context, you know, when you're when you're trying to be,
like,
negative to
somebody.
Like, in what
context is that a good thing?
So,
except, like, for if it's you and I and I'm like, hey, yeah, exactly. Like, that's it. That's so, the only context it's okay. And if I didn't know you and I said, hey, ho, you would be allowed to hate me.
But we know that's not, I mean? We know that's not how Victoria was saying it. And so,
exactly.
I think there's things like that. And I think that is why sometimes that's why I still watch it, and that's why I still critique it and still go down this path, is because it is a mirror. And so there's, like, that duality. Like, we recently had an interview with Taylor Nolan, and we really talked about, like, it like her season was during the election, the 2016 election, and just like you have Trump and you have Hillary and you have all of that in one like world, and it exists, and as much as we don't want it to exist, it does.
Did
and
they so... talk about politics on the show? Because no, you can't. Like when it's recorded, but like can you talk about politics like when they're not on camera?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, but I don't think a lot of people do, because also the people they're often picking to be on these shows are people who are not very active in their communities in that way, you know? Right. So I can see how like a Becca Kufrin ended up with a Garrett who is MAGA, and she's somebody who's been very publicly open about, you know, being liberal. You just get into this world where you don't, I don't know, you just, I think you...
If you're going to marry somebody, like, honestly, that's... I was on Bumble for 2 days when I reconnected with my boyfriend after seeing him for 8 years. I know, humble brag. No, I'm just a serial monogamist. I don't know. So, my bio... My bio is on everything is like puppies, positivity, and the feminist agenda. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's no question. Mm-hmm. Like if you are not down with the way that I clown, mm-hmm. you're not going to get down with me. It's just not going to happen. Like so, and I am all for turning down anybody that has a problem with the way I view the world and things like that. So for me watching the show, you know, Tayshia last season sent somebody home out of like a difference of religion. Yeah. I didn't watch all of Tayshia's season because I got really bored during the whole Claire Dale thing, and then I couldn't get back into it after that.
That's fair.
I did like I still wanted to know what happened, so I would like listen to recaps and you know all of that kind of stuff. So I remember them talking about religion, which I wish that they were allowed to discuss more of those things, because I feel like they're almost like taking away the relationship aspect of the show by not showing what a real relationship is. And that's talking about like, you know, where do you see yourself in your life? What are your political, you know, feelings, your religious background, all that? Like, those are real things you need to talk about before you get engaged. And that's like the point of the show is to get engaged. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't you know?
I would argue that like almost like with Becca, you know, when you live with, like, a certain amount of, like, privilege, there's, like, an almost plausible deniability for her there. I don't – it's not the same – like, I don't feel the same way. But, like, maybe politics doesn't come up because it doesn't impact her a whole lot until it does. Until you figure out that your boyfriend is MAGA just as you're being, like, introduced into, like – you know,
that's a really good point. Yeah.
I think 2016 to 2020 for a lot of people, especially like a lot of women who grew up in the Midwest, white women who grew up in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Was a real like turning point. Like, oh, actually, like my partner's beliefs are toxic. Like this is a very weird thing going on.
Yeah. I'm from Minnesota. I mean, I'm from St. Paul, but Keegan is from Missouri and she's from a much more, you know, conservative background. My parents are old hippies, so I was raised much more liberally. I mean, I'm definitely the most hardcore in my family, but I was still kind of raised more in that environment. But yeah, it's something that I've definitely noticed on Facebook and things like that in the last 4 years of people, you know, we started our show right after Donald Trump became president because we needed that relief. We need somewhere to be angry. That's why our show is Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist, turning that into something more positive and things like that. So, and it's true, you know, Jenna bringing up the point of The Bachelor being kind of this mirror of reality. It's true. During that time where it was such a shift, I think, politically for so many people, where you kind of had to become political. Mm-hmm. Like you couldn't just be moderate anymore. Mm-hmm. You had to kind of take a side. So I can imagine during that time, especially not being people that would speak openly about politics, that you would get into something and then be like, oh, shit, I don't want to be in this anymore.
To that point, I think that, like, having two black leads in a row is really powerful because they're not having conversations about, you know, like, are you a Democrat or are you Republican? They're having conversations about this is what it's like to live as a black person. Like, this is, like, a trauma that I encountered that comes from being a black person. And that is inherently political because you know, the personal is political. So, like, we're getting to learn more about them through, like, those little admissions that just didn't exist when there was a white lead, because it was almost – it's almost like it has to be, like, something that the lead can latch onto in order for producers or whatever is going on in the background for it to matter to them.
It's like part of the storyline almost because the lead is. Yeah, exactly.
So we're making huge. It's making huge waves. Like we're changes are happening. It's slow and steady, and we feel like you go back 10 steps every week at times. But the fact that we are having conversations, like Chelsea talking about her hair as a Black woman, you know, the fact that we are having conversations like with Michelle,
and then
you know,
Caitlin Bristow posting about her hair thing.
So that's the 10 steps backwards, right? That I just mentioned. you have Chelsea having an empowering moment about her hair as a Black woman, and then you have Caitlin, a white thin woman, talking about my body. It's like, bitch, please sit down.
But again, it's one of those things where hopefully then, you know, if somebody mentioned that to her, like, hey, that's not a good look. This is why.
Hopefully she did.
And hopefully she takes that in and she understands it and like can move forward with that. And that's the most important part.
And that's the most, you know,
it's
really,
like she should know, but.
No. And we all don't know. I mean, Danica and I are two white women and we've made many mistakes. For the last, I don't know, I've been alive for 35 years. So I guess 30 years, I've been making mistakes, and...
the first 5 years were good?
Yeah, I was pretty good as a baby.
I fucked up from day one.
Yeah, no, I was pretty angelic, but...
I'm 29, and I've also been fucking up for 35 years somehow, so...
Well, yeah, and you know, Keegan and I always talk about how you have to meet people where they are, especially when you're talking about feminism.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as the perfect feminist. There's no such thing as everybody... having the same background and knowledge and
certainly.
Like it doesn't exist. Like that's not going to happen. And so, you know, we have a spiel in the beginning of our show where we say from our own personal feminist perspectives, because I can't speak for everybody and how they feel. I can only speak for how I feel and through my experiences and things like
and
that.
And where you're at right now.
Yeah. And it, and we are
change over time.
Yeah, and we're in an interesting climate politically, too, where I feel like there's also a lot of performative activism, and I definitely think that The Bachelor has latched onto that a lot you know, which, you know, do I love the fact that Tayshia and Matt were both chosen? Yes, and they needed to do that. They made the right choice. But I hope in doing that, they're going to continually have more diverse casts and leads in the future, not just this year because it was a hot topic of conversation and things like that. You know,
yeah, we talked a lot about that over this year because that's been the only thing we can focus on, really, within Bachelor Nation.
Yeah,
and it's, I guess, time is to tell. You know, we'll see. They made this one of the most diverse casts ever, but they also spent the majority of the time centering the white characters on the show. So, you know, you just, you hate to see it a little bit.
You hate to see it.
But but it's big steps. There's steps, you know, you have to keep going and you have to have, I don't know. And that's why we're thankful for, like, communities that we're a part of in the Bachelor Nation world. There's other podcasts that are out there doing similar work that we are. And
yeah, I love Crimes and Roses.
Yeah, Crimes and Roses. We love them. If you're not checking out them. If you like true crime podcasts and you like Bachelor podcasts, please listen to Crime and Roses.
Yeah,
it's wonderful. And, I mean, it's just... I don't know. I feel compelled to do it somehow.
I know. I totally get. I completely understand. I gotta say, one of my other favorite things just about watching The Bachelor right now too is that the drama is so out of my norm of drama that it's almost like it puts my life into a little bit of perspective.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to deal with. I would never put myself in a position to be dealing with these things. Yeah. So it's fun to watch other people go through them and everything like that. But
yeah.
Oh, well, we had talked about, we've already gone for a half an hour, which I knew this would happen, but I had asked you guys if you wanted to kind of like bring any topics of conversation that you wanted to. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about?
I have a little something.
Yes, okay.
If you don't mind.
Go off.
Yeah. I do mind. I asked you on the show and I don't want you to talk. Can you just sit there and be pretty?
You know what? I don't blame you. I should stop talking at all times.
No, so, never.
Listen. The Bachelor is a queer show.
Oh! What?
Do you want to hear why?
Yes.
Basically, like, the entire, like, queer community that I'm a part of is, like, connected by a thread, and it's who you've dated. And we are friends because we all dated the same fucking person.
I've heard of this before. It's kind of like the six stages of removal or whatever it's called. Like, we're six steps
Kevin
away
Bacon
from Kevin Bacon. Yeah, exactly. That same kind of thing, but it's with, like, relationships.
Yes, in the queer community, and probably more specifically, like, femme-leaning stuff,
Okay.
You're friends with all of your friends' exes, and that's your community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that.
Period, and it's so supportive and nice, and you're just all rooting for your ex-girlfriend to find their partner, like, period.
It's beautiful.
It's really great. Yeah, so they're just tethered for life to 30 people that they only know because they all dated the same fucking person.
That is a great point. And it's so, that's one of the things that I think is so funny. It's that, like, they become best friends with each other.
Yes, they do. Yeah, yeah. The friendships, yeah.
It's so crazy because, like, I mean, that's, if I were on that show, that would be my main focus is, like, I meet all these awesome women. This is great. Matt, go away. We're going to talk over here. You know, things like that. Mm-hmm. But I've never thought about it that way before. And that's why we have Bachelor Nation, because everybody, like, it's almost like the shared trauma. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you've all been through this. Like, you didn't have anyone else to speak to. You didn't have the outside world of any kind. You just had each other.
Yeah.
So you create this, like, everlasting bond. I totally understand it. And that's why, like, I think it's so weird that they come back and, like, film their weddings for the show.
And make everybody come to it that you were all together and dating.
And then, or, like, just random people from Bachelor World that you've never met before come to your wedding or, like, you know, just crazy things like that. And it's, like, when you think about it in a trauma perspective, it's the shared trauma, so you'll always have a bond. That is so funny. I've never thought of that. I thought you were going to tell me that there were, like, secretly queer people on the show that I should be rooting for that are, like, because that's another thing that, so we did an episode talking about The Bachelor, like, a while ago. I listened to it recently, and the sound quality was, like, giving me a headache. It was awful, so I apologize if you went back and listened to it, but
I was going to say, like, it's a show that makes sense to me as a queer person, but it has a straight monogamous politics and lens to it.
That's the thing. Like, Keegan kept calling it archaic. That was the way she kept referring. It's archaic. It's archaic. It's like, it's just, it's man meet woman, woman fight for man. Like, it's just, it's the simplest form of, like, what mating should be. You know, just, like, put on this pedestal. And, yeah, it's, I'm curious as to how the show would even handle having somebody that would, you know, maybe be bisexual on the show.
Yeah.
That, like, I can only imagine that that would be treated horribly by the fellow contestants. And that's probably what keeps queer people from wanting to be on the show, you know?
We have proof that, in fact, that's true. It might have been during the season before or just after, when you guys talked about The Bachelor, we've had a couple of bisexual women.
Well, we've had Demi and Christian. I almost forgot about them on Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. And then we also have had Jamie and Alexa. Jamie is from Nick Viola's season, and Alexa was on Colton's season.
Which one was Alexa?
Exactly. Unfortunately, she is a black bi woman who was ignored by the franchise because the franchise has very, very problematic concepts. She didn't get as much followers. She didn't get much screen time.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Are they out?
Yeah.
Like, on Instagram and things like that? Have you noticed any sort of, like, responses from the fans and the audience of, like, what their response has been to that?
That's part of what I was going to talk about is just, like as a like, bisexual, pansexual person, like, I was so excited to see, like, representation on there, but the way that it happened was, like, super unfortunate, I feel like, because they always have, like, a token person on the season, and I feel like they're, like, dipping their toes in the water to see if, you know, like, Evangelical Bachelor Nation is going to lose their fucking mind about it.
Right.
Which just basically leaves, like, these, like, queer people, like, talking about, you know, their experiences and their identities, and they don't have anybody to lean on after that. So, like, it goes back to, like, what we're talking about with, like, The Bachelor being, like, a mirror to culture, because, like, do I want to see this representation? Yes, but I also, like, see, like, Midwesterners' reactions to seeing this representation. And,
exactly.
Like, I feel like Jenna and I, and probably you as well, live in, like, a little bit of a bubble where, like, nobody blinks an eye at queer people. Like, the gays are everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
We love it's just, it, and it's amazing.
It's part of life, yep.
Yeah. And we don't have to deal with, like, on a day-to-day basis, living where we live.
Yeah.
And in the communities that we exist in, like, mm-hmm. having to defend our existence or, like...
And your identity.
The
and
way
who you
we
are.
Feel, yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's holding up a really ugly mirror about, like, oh, this is how my grandparents, like, actually feel about mm-hmm. me, you know? And, like, yeah. so it's one of those things where I'm, like, the problem is culture, not necessarily the show.
Yeah.
But, like,
yes.
at the root of it, the show is a problem. And so, like,
well, yeah.
I don't want, you know, queer people to be, I don't want queer people to be excluded, but I don't want them to have to go through that experience. And quite frankly, I'm happy in my little bubble where I don't have to see people openly hating bisexual people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or
yeah.
or even just like asking the question like, oh, are you really gay? Like you're dating a guy though. That's confusing. Like,
yeah.
In our world, we're a little bit beyond that now. Mm-hmm. And now
yes.
we're just having to, and I mean, like, even
and when you have to go back and explain something that should feel almost yeah. just like second, it feels second nature to you. So
yeah.
the fact that somebody else would be so confused about it.
Right. The season we had to recap that, it was, I think Danica and I really bonded over that, but it was kind of traumatic. Like the yeah. episodes, if you go back and listen to that season of BIP of our podcast,
yeah.
Danica and I were very heated. Each episode was just like hour of us just like, oh my god, we love this representation, but like watching everyone react to it online was just horrible because they, and you know, there were so many people who would be like, I am not biphobic, I am not homophobic, but.
Yes,
I am
it's
not,
like the I'm not racist, but. Yeah.
But.
Yeah.
And it was just constant, and everyone was quote unquote in support of Demi. That was it. Like everyone was okay with it.
Yeah.
It was with caveats that they had to explain why it really. They should just go home then. Why do I have to see these two women in love if they are already together? It was like, well, that's what fucking Demi or Hannah G and Dylan are doing too. Like,
yeah,
like
exactly.
let's send them all home as soon as they find each other. Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing is with Bachelor in Paradise, when you have multiple relationships
yeah.
going on, that's also kind of part of it is that you get to see more of individual relationships yeah. forming. So
yeah.
the fact that we actually got to see Demi and Christian go
yeah.
through... like some really tough shit.
Yeah.
Like that was my first Bachelor in Paradise, and my God,
yeah.
did I love
yes.
that season? It was
yeah.
just because it seemed like real conflict.
Yeah.
Like I can't remember the guy that she was kind of seeing before
Derek.
Christian came on, but he I thought handled it so well.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that you know, at least from just an audience standpoint, not
mm-hmm.
going online and digging any deeper, anything like that. I appreciated the fact that it seemed like. They didn't have to hide their struggles, especially Demi
Agreed.
With her sexuality, because
yeah.
Christian
yeah.
seemed much more sure of herself, where Demi, you know, had been on the show looking for a guy, Colton.
Uh-huh.
She had dated a guy on Bachelor in Paradise already and having to bring up this big thing that could have potentially really put a target on her back in this made
mm-hmm.
me feel really good to see it on TV. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how everything has been since then, like on the internet with that, but...
Yeah,
seeing that was cool.
I super agree with you, and I think like when I think back on that season, like as a queer person, I just still feel really weird about it,
mm-hmm.
Because Demi was like what 23 or 24 at the
mm-hmm.
time. She's like literally like a nursery baby gay,
yeah, little
at
baby,
that point. And like. Is just like coming into this for the first time, and it's hard to not view that through like a manipulative lens in
mm-hmm.
any way.
Mm-hmm.
And like Christian was, you know, super set on
yeah.
everything, you know,
yeah.
like.
Well, she was older
elder
too.
Gay.
Yeah,
yeah
elder
she
gay.
Was older, and it seems like she, you know, just from looking at her Instagram, like
she
has her community, has
yeah.
her people. Yeah.
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 Yeah,
yeah,
Demi wasn't, which is, but that's reality too.
No,
you know
yeah,
what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what happens. I feel like with
we
relationships.
Loved that. No, I loved the parts of her when she talked about being new to dating women and stuff like that. That was very relatable. I think it was very important to
mm-hmm.
see, truly important. And I don't feel like the show actually fucked up that part a ton. like that was pretty okay with me.
I want to, I mean, I personally think I give a lot of props to Demi just for like being as outspoken as she is, and because mm-hmm. she was outspoken already.
Yeah.
And she
yeah.
would just say these things that I feel like it almost made, maybe it made the editors and the producers and everything feel better about it. I don't know. Because I feel like it could have, if it was any other person, I wonder if it could would have been a very different experience.
Yeah, I think so.
You know? Because yeah, like she's just this firecracker little girl, yeah. you know? So.
Yeah.
Very different.
Yeah. I think I don't want to say that I had a problem with how it was handled. Like, I think at the time,
yeah,
I loved it and I was super comfortable with it. And I'm still, like, kind of comfortable with it now. But it does – the part that gives me pause, I guess, is, like, that she had to go through this very uncomfortable situation uh-huh. while being filmed. And I guess she agreed to do it. I think it's just, like, a really complicated and personal situation that like I would not have wanted that period of my life to be televised.
Yeah.
And so like I think it's hard for me to view it without there being some sort of like, what does she benefit from this and what does production benefit from this? Mm-hmm. Because like I think it's unbalanced in that regard.
Yeah, to me, I remember talking a lot of that time of having it feel like a Band-Aid situation. Like we've had one person that isn't totally straight on the show, so now we don't have to deal with it for a really long time.
And they literally made money off of it. I mean, yeah. the way they promoted it, the way they
yeah, and then there was the two proposals.
The whole thing.
That's the other thing is just with the fact that the whole point of the show is to end in an engagement mm-hmm. is the other part that's just very, again, I'm going to use the word archaic.
Oh, yeah, and I agree. Love and marriage is stupid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, it's so funny. I made a joke about being a serial monogamist, but, like, I have a really shitty dad. So my whole life, I'm like, I want to have kids, but, like, same. I don't want to get married. Oh, yay, daddy issues.
Oh, yeah, I do have kids, too. Yeah.
Oh, the trifecta.
Yes. So for me, you know, I was always like, well, I don't want to get married, but I want to have kids. Like, in my head, I was just going to, like, adopt a bunch of babies and be a single mm-hmm. mom and, like, live my best life and everything was going to be cool. But then, you know, life happens and I like people. I like dating people and gross. Things like that. So I know I'm so gross. It's horrible. I live with a boy. Ugh.
I'm the very pessimistic side of this. This fucking
But you've got to be. I mean, and that's the thing is I've always been. I think I'm also a very like realistic person when it comes to relationships. I'm not a head in the clouds like yeah. you're my soulmate kind of person and more realistic, which is also why The Bachelor is fun for me because I get to see people who totally think.
Oh, it's so that escapist way. In that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, that is the true escapism of it. I've always said that too. It's I watch it and I go, oh, at least that's not me. Gosh, yes. That feels great. I feel pretty cool actually right now.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's so funny. So I was just talking to my mom on the phone yesterday. And so my parents are older. My mom and dad got married in 1972 and they met in like 1970 at a bar, like a nice bar after work or, you know, whatever. And my mom was talking about the place they both worked. My dad was an artist and working in the ad world. She was like a secretary. And so she, you know, lived with her two girlfriends and had to work to make money. And she was like, oh, but pretty much every woman there was just to like meet a guy that worked for another department yeah. that had more yeah. money to like find a husband. And to me, that's kind of like when you go on The Bachelor, you know, it's kind of, it's that same thing. Like I'm here as the last resort to find a husband. And I'm here purely for that rather than here to build a relationship or to yeah. build like a true connection with somebody. It's like I'm here because it's time for me to get married,
and that's why I feel like Kit at age 21 is definitely appropriate for her to be on The Bachelor.
Is she 21? Because she's been,
because as a 21 year old, clearly this is her last chance at love. Okay, this is her last chance at love. True. And I really hope that she finds somebody and she can get married, because I feel for this woman who's had to suffer for so many years at the age of 21. Poor woman. I hope she finds somebody.
Okay, yeah, but how...
Here for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Was I the only one that thought she was being sent home when she only got a nighttime date this past
yeah.
week?
Yeah. Yeah. We Who did knows? Too, but, you know...
I think you want to make out with her.
I do. Oh, she's hot as hell. Have you seen her?
Lord. She's adorable. Yeah. When her mom is, like, a famous fashion designer, I yeah. love all... I was, yeah. like, creeping on her mom's Instagram, and I was like, send me clothes.
Yeah, no,
I
like, Matt everything. James, suck out that soul with your weird kissing.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Speaking of which, so he did an interview recently, I want to say, with Good Morning America that I watched on YouTube, and he was talking about Kit and a bunch of the women and how he took a lot of things from them. Like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I learned a lot about fashion sense from Kit, and I learned about something else from somebody else, but he was also talking about, you know, Victoria, and he was talking about Rachel, who's on his season, and Rachel has had some problematic things found on her, you know, through TikTok and things like that, a lot of cultural appropriation.
Racism.
Most recently seeing, like, the antebellum ball that she went to that I realized was only, like, 2 years ago and not, like, forever ago. And, you know, seeing him kind of bring up some of those topics, he just said, you know, you have to be really careful about what you post on social media. And that was kind of his only response to that. Like, well, I just...
That's the only thing he can say right now, unfortunately. Yeah. He's on contract. Yeah. He's in the middle of his own season.
Do you think that says something about, like, what's to come on the show? Like, do you think any of that's going to come out?
I don't think it'll come out on the show. Yeah. I think it's going to come out after, and I think Rachel will be called to speak at some point about her behavior afterwards, but I don't think it's going to... Like, ABC is not going to be like, oh, this racist bitch, you know?
Oh,
like,
no, ABC is not going to at all. No, but, like, do you like, think
it's,
that, but,
it's not going to air.
Well, that's the other thing is, like, I'm wondering if she's even going to, like, yeah, maybe on Instagram she'll have to say something, but I don't think anything's going to come up.
There's some...
What if he ends up with her?
There's some... We don't know. We're a spoiler, and we're also just to say we're a spoiler-free.
No, podcast. I don't want to give any. But I'm saying.
No, I'm saying to the audience who's listening now, like if they want to DM us, don't DM us. Spoilers. People love to do that, so we always have to tell everyone so they don't fucking do it.
Yes, make that. No, nobody send them spoilers. But that's. But that was my thinking when I was watching that. Is I'm like, what if he gets to the end and he picks her, and then there's all this stuff that comes out about her bullying. So one of the things, the major thing that I first saw was that she had bullied schoolmates growing up. For dating a black person. And now she is on the show dating the first black bachelor, which is a hard dose of irony in her life, I'm sure. I hope she makes it to hometowns just so I can see if there's any sort of tension with the family members or anything like that. I find it fascinating. But I feel so bad for Matt in that situation. If I were to fall for somebody, like, let's just say that, like, one of the, not even just Rachel, but one of the people on the show that probably, you know, is more on the Trump side of things. Mm-hmm. How disappointing would it be to get to the end, to fall in love, think you're in love with somebody, you want to marry them, and then have them turn out to be...
Yeah.
Someone who's against who you are. Like, to me, that's the most anticipating part of this season. It's just like, because of the social aspect of it, it's like, what is going to happen with all this crazy shit? It's crazy. Oh my God. Jenna, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Oh, wait, before we move on though.
Yeah.
From the entire bisexuality of it all.
Yes.
I was going to say, just like as an addendum, because I know we've talked about a lot of things since then. Watching The Bachelor, like, as a bi person when there was also a bi person on the show was really interesting because I felt very, like, defensive of Demi, even though she's also done a lot of, like, problematic things in the past. But, like, I felt for her and I was, like, rooting for her a lot. Uh-huh. And then I was just thinking about, like, how comfortable I feel in my own queer spaces, but, like, how the queer community in general views bisexual people, is there's still so much to go, even in our own community.
Yeah.
That, like, I think that I had, like, a, like, almost like a shell-shocked moment where I was like, of course Middle America doesn't, you know, give
doesn't
a fuck.
Doesn't understand it.
Yeah, doesn't understand my experience because, like, people in my own community don't really understand bisexuality. And it's,
well, I mean, there's like, a lot of gatekeeping within our own community. Like, Danica and I have had experience that a lot with, like, even other queer people being like, are you guys queer enough? Explain your queerness.
Having friends that will even make their own jokes about when they're bi, like, you know, they just say I'm on my way to, like, gay town, or, you know, they would make little jokes about that with themselves. And especially in the skating community, which is surprisingly super homophobic. You wouldn't think it is, but it is. So, like, if you're gay and a male skater, you have to stay in the closet until you're done competing.
That's fun. Wow.
It's crazy.
We have Adam Rippon. That's not true.
He was the first. The skating world is an interesting one when it comes to the LGBTQ community. But and also, you know, I have found myself being very invested in learning more about the trans community. It's something that I'm very interested in. I have transgender friends and things like that that have kind of drawn me to wanting to know more about that. We are so flooded with TERFs every time we post anything to do with the trans community. Like, our comment section, reporting every 2 seconds. You know, and that's the thing, again, when we're talking about the bubbles that we live in. I live in Los Angeles, you live in Portland. So in my head, I'm thinking, this is something that should be celebrated. This is something that should be talked about. Isn't this wonderful? And then I got to be knocked down a couple pegs by people who have to be shitty about it. You know what I mean?
I think that's like actually one of the benefits of watching The Bachelor is that we have to interact with communities that are outside of our own like normal thought bubble all of the time, to where like, I mean, I think it makes things more frightening, but we have like a more realistic perspective because
we're not stuck in the bubble in our head. Yeah. We don't think that everybody thinks like us, you know?
Oh, certainly not. Yeah, no. I think that's, it is. Like, our comment section is pretty okay now, but when it, when the random Pamela 23678 comes through and says...
Ooh, are we calling somebody out?
No, no. It's just they're always named Pamela with a bunch of numbers. It's just how it is. And they have a photo of them and the dog. It's a dog as their profile photo. And
they're not even using the funny numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not like 69420. Yeah, no, it's it's just like they just put a series. It's like there's a social security number, actually.
Yeah, probably. It's literally like also just like zero posts, zero followers. Yes. You know, following us only just to give us shit.
It's just trolls. Yeah, it's hard. We get a lot of young teenage boys.
Cool.
That's fun.
It's the like coolest population. We have never talked to a single one.
Yeah. I know. We are blessed. We don't get that. Thank God.
It's really sweet. We actually have a couple of young men, I should say, that listen to us. No, it's that's really great, wonderful. The trolls, we have we're definitely more female listeners, but when we look at our demographics every once in a while, it's always great to see the people that are guys that come in and talk with us and want to be part of the conversation. We thoroughly enjoy it. It's great. Got to get more perspectives in here, you know? Well, Jenna, did you have anything that you wanted to bring to the table today?
Well, I think it kind of wraps in a lot of what we've already been discussing. And I think it's another question we get often. So I wanted to talk about it is like the representation of fat bodies on the show. So as somebody who identifies as fat, like, I've also had that journey of thinking about it, you know, do I want that representation on the television show or do I not really? And I've come to a big understanding recently that I don't want it. Not yet. Unless the show is going to do it correctly, which I don't have faith that they can, based on all the other times that they've tried to talk about certain things, have not done it perfectly. But then again, you're like, oh, should something do it perfectly? No.
Yeah.
Will there be a good discussion from it? Yes. I'm prepared to have that discourse with people. If we were to ever have it in the next couple of seasons, I'm prepared to have that discourse with, like, our community.
Yeah.
But it does give me a lot of stress to think about the idea, because here's what realistically is going to happen. They're going to cast one plus-size woman, just one.
Just one among all the other Instagram models that they usually cast. Yeah.
And she's going to have to take the brunt of all of the discourse of that, both good and bad. Much like the demi-bisexual element, she's going to get so much support, but the support is going to be often toxic because, as a plus size person,
and she's going to have to constantly be like reaffirming herself. You know what I mean? Like, it's exhausting.
She's going to have to
educate people all the time on things. You know what I mean?
She'll have comments being like, "Oh my god, you're so brave! Oh my god, you're so brave! You wore that outfit on that show."
The compliments you think they are?
Yeah, they're not compliments. So if you're saying that, if you're a straight sized person listening to this podcast now, and you have beautiful plus size women in your life, or any gender, you know, telling them that they're brave for wearing a crop top is actually really, it's harmful. It's harmful.
It's a microaggression.
It's a microaggression.
I completely understand you. So as somebody that's dealt with a lot of body dysmorphia in my life like that, I've been recovered for 7 years, saved my life, thank God, you know, all this. So it's something that I'm always very hyper aware of as well. So I was actually kind of, my ears perked up with Victoria a lot this season I wish I could talk to that girl. I just want to hug her. And I just want to tell her that she's enough. You're enough. You don't need to be the queen. You don't need to you don't need to bring other people down. You, as Victoria, who you are is just fine. Because to me, you know, she mentioned, I was afraid I was going to look fat in the wedding dress. Right. Or, yeah. you know, like she would yeah. make these little comments that were, to me, very, very real. Like, mm-hmm. that's not her, like, persona, overly confident self trying to kind of, like, make a joke at herself. To me, that seemed very, very real and, like, a very big insecurity.
Yeah, she's, like, attempting to be vulnerable in a way that... I feel like that she hasn't just, like, had enough affirmation in her life and hasn't yeah. been told the truth, like, right. literally for her whole life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, it's hard...
Which is fair and normal.
Yeah, but it's hard to see somebody kind of go through that... Mm-hmm. kind of what I see, and I'm not trying to diagnose her, but it's kind of, you know, a body dysmorphic way of thinking, of mm-hmm. of being so hyper aware of being around all these other women, being in a wedding dress, wanting to look a certain way. And Victoria looks no different than the rest of the cast. Like, mm-hmm. there's nothing, you know, I would never consider her to be a bigger woman at all.
But, here, I'll
but
give
in
her
own mind and her own securities, yeah. the things that she's saying to me.
Yeah.
I'll
give her credit to then add into the other bigger picture of body on the show is that wedding dress date obviously was uncomfortable for A, her, clearly because of her issues with her body, and B, if there was anyone who was bigger than anyone else in that show, would not be able to participate in that date. That's why the show is problematic.
That's a great point. Because they're probably all like the same size. So you
were, yeah,
with
of course.
Like two dresses, and I yeah. bet they're going to be the ugly ones that right. none of the other...
So the bullshit. Show is not making itself a safe space for people with different body types, you know. And so if we had a plus size woman on there, it would just be problematic and not good. And but, you know,
not a positive move for the community.
It wouldn't be
as
a positive
whole.
Note. Yeah, it would yeah. not. But I also think we have to make steps eventually towards that. I think in an ideal situation, if I could make it work, it would be like the person would be the lead and they would just, you know, they would elevate yeah. it to a desirability that is higher, and that we could just
that
have
they
that
have to fight
making...
for them,
exactly.
not the other way around. Yeah.
yeah. So I would love that, I guess. But even then, that would be wrought with issues. We joked yeah. on a bonus episode with our friend Allie about how like, all the promotion imagery would probably be like about curveballs and like A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
And
oh, because like... they always do the movie posters.
Yeah, exactly.
For their... Yeah,
so
exactly.
It would be just utter trash.
It would
but.
Be. But, you know, and I think if, just like anybody who's going to be a trailblazer on a reality show,
yes.
I think that you have
yes.
to be one of those people that, like, has the thickest skin. Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you're going to be the first.
And as a fat person, I have very thick skin.
But also, like, that seems like a...
Shut up.
Jenna. Good joke, Jenna.
Thank you.
But we
also,
love her.
Like,
we love
that's
her.
An unfair, like, expectation to have of somebody,
it's
I feel
so
like.
Unfair.
And
yeah.
and also, I mean, like, to add to, like, all the points we've been talking about, like, I think that in a situation where we cast a fat lead or we have, you know, multiple contestants even
yeah.
who are fat on the show... We sort of have the last 4 years again as a mirror. Like, even like people who are on the left were just like making fun of Donald Trump's body, and it's like, we see how you feel about fat people. You're
yes.
you're making fun of his actual body, so it's not
yeah.
even just like a left versus right thing.
Yeah,
everybody is fat phobic in our society.
It is, I would say, you know, one of the oldest ways that somebody who wants to cut somebody down, it's like the easiest, oldest
yeah.
way to try to make someone feel bad about themselves,
yeah.
even though there is absolutely no tie to the body that you have, to the person that you are to people.
Exactly.
If they want to be mean, especially to women,
yeah.
if they want to be mean,
yeah.
you can make a comment about their body and it's going to tear them down completely, because
can't
that's
we just talk about
because societally
eyebrows?
We've been told to think that way about ourselves. It's just complete bullshit. It's horrible.
No, it's totally. It's a very trash. So yeah, that's my little thesis on that, and it just ties into like everything we've been talking about. So
totally,
I mean, it the good and the bad of it, and we'll have that conversation one day, I'm sure. Because I do think that ABC is at their office and they have a big whiteboard, and so they're checking off all the
I
different...
live only a couple miles away from ABC. What do you want me to do?
I can just see them checking off all the different types of isms that they're trying to attach. And so fat eventually is going to be on there, and they're going to get to it one day. And when that happens, make sure you pay me for my dialogue.
Exactly. And being and be incredibly supportive and wonderful to the person so that even if there is negativity, that, mm-hmm. you know, all the positivity will kind of outshine it.
Outweigh it, yes.
Yeah. So we've gone to an hour now, but there's one thing, because this is coming out after this Monday's episode, and I know I can talk to you about this because you posted about The Bachelorette being announced this morning.
Yes.
So because I have you here, I have to talk to you about it instead of just direct messaging you later, which is going to be way more complicated. So they said Katie, who I love. Yeah, I love Katie. I wish she would be my friend in real life. Like, I want to be her friend. I hope she's as great as she appears to be, because if she's not, I'm going to be heartbroken.
Yeah.
Reality Steve leaked that she is going to be the Bachelorette. But then... you posted other stuff that threw me for a loop. I'm assuming it's Jenna. I think it was Jenna that did this to me. Because then one of the other contestants was like, nope.
Mm-hmm. False.
But do you think she's saying that to throw us off?
Yeah. There's two possibilities happening at once. Okay. Two options. Either somebody fed Reality Steve bad info intentionally.
Which happens.
Which happens. Typically, he doesn't spoil this kind of thing wrong when it's talking about a new lead. He can spoil other things pretty incorrectly at times.
Because doesn't he kind of try to, like, get multiple, like, fact-checking sources to make sure before
This would be something that I would really think that he wouldn't post unless he himself thought it was very true. So that means whoever gave him the information, he quote-unquote trusted. But then there's the other thing that is total J-Anon, which is me, Jenna Anonymous, is that it is true, but Mari and Katie are now coming out saying it's not. Katie posted an Instagram story today being like, woke up to a bunch of texts. I don't know what you all are talking about. And so they're trying to throw us off.
I think she's flirting.
Yeah, I think she's flirting. So they're trying to throw us off so that
I thought that Katie maybe didn't know. And that maybe she found out along with...
No, they don't.
They don't do it that way? Okay, that was my thought. I was like, well, maybe she's just as surprised as we are. And, like, they were going to announce it, like, live to her or something. I don't know. I don't know what I'm talking about.
No. not in this particular case. And so she knows one way or another. And I think that she is... there's the potential that the producers are having them try to do a false flag because they want to, A, announce it themselves, and B, the whole thing has consumed Bachelor Nation for the last 24 hours and moved us from focusing on racist Rachel. And so I think it's a conspiracy to distract us while they do something else. And I think that it means Katie is the Bachelorette, but that they're trying to say, when they say false, because Reality C said that it was announced at the Women Tell All and that Katie goes home on Monday. And so...
Which, how does Katie go home tomorrow? Because I saw the clip from that
date. She has a one-on-one date. I know, but they sometimes send people home on one-on-one dates.
Well, I know, but usually, like, not toward the end, right?
No, because, like, no. Sometimes if it just isn't vibing.
But they looked like they were having so much fun, but maybe they're, like, more friends. Maybe he felt, like, more of a friend vibe with her.
Yeah. Okay, so that would make sense. She could be saying false because that part's not true. Maybe she does stay. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe she does stay. So she can still be telling the truth when she says it's false because she's talking about one part of it and not the whole part of it.
You're thinking like a lawyer. Yeah. Like, you should consider going to law school. Have you thought about it? Like,
yeah, Jenna, one of us needs to go to law school because you're just spreading bullshit.
You're like, technically, she's not lying.
Yeah, technically, she's not lying.
She's saying that. Yeah, totally. And, you know, the reason that because I had messaged you when you were like, I think it's Maga Ann, which is what you call Hannah Ann, which I love so much. And I'm like, it's not one. No, it's not going to be because I hope they know better because I think that a lot of people feel the same way. I think it would be a giant mistake to go from Matt James to Hannah Ann. Oh.
I agree with you. I don't trust the show to not do that.
But they still want money. Resort.
Yeah,
we can't find her, so they cast Katie. But
everybody, all former contestants, like everybody's been talking about Katie forever. Yeah. Like since the show started, she went from being a dildo girl, which I take offense to because that was not a dildo. That is a vibrator.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for spreading the misinformation.
I always call it a dildo. And then I correct myself like 2 hours later. I'm like, oh, shit, sorry.
Because a dildo looks more like a penis, right? And a vibrator.
No, a vibrator just has a mechanical element to it.
Is that all it is? And a dildo is just, it's just a piece of something.
A penetrative thing.
I think dildos can be vibrators.
But vibrators can't vibrators be dildos.
My dildo has a vibrating element to it.
Okay,
fair. So then you would call that a vibrating dildo?
That's why I get confused, and that's why I say it's wrong all the fucking time.
Jesus Christ. That is very confusing.
Okay. You know what? I'm gonna throw it in the garbage. You guys can get me a new one.
Great.
So this is a dildo.
Oh my God. I wish this was a visual. Hold on. Where's my fucking phone? I have to take a picture of this right now. And it's gonna have emojis over it, so our like high school listeners won't be offended. Okay, that's a dildo.
That's all a dildo. Right. And this
now
is a
show
vibrator.
Us what a vibrator is, Jenna. Thank you. Thank you. Do we have... Oh, for a second, I thought we had the same vibrator. I got really excited. We don't. It's different.
And mine looks like the corn cob, but has an element attached to it where it vibrates, too.
Yeah, because that was one of the big things. Like, I know that like there's other hills to cross with this show, but the fact that they keep referring to what Katie brought on night one as a dildo was very upsetting to me, because it's like, no, she wasn't bringing a dick on the show.
Yeah,
she didn't bring something that, like, should be not on television. She brought something that, like, you know, yes, they blurred it out, but is not something that is, like, totally uncalled for television.
To be fair, her vibrator was ugly.
It was.
Wasn't it kind of the rabbit?
It had the little deal at the bottom. It was very ugly and cheap. And we are starting a GoFundMe for Katie to get a better vibrator.
I think that's great. I think that should be such a... You know what? You don't have to, because how many guys night one are going to bring her? Or
exactly.
Or no, they're going to make a joke about how she no longer needs a sex toy because I'm all you need now, girl. No, we still need masturbation. People. That doesn't
everyone,
go away.
Everyone should start following Katie because she's about to get so many sponsorships and we all need the discount.
We all need the discount. We should be following her anyways. I was looking at her old Instagram posts even and like her name is Vent with Katie and she's just so real and lovely. And
yeah, she's very, very
unapologetic, and to me, that's the most attractive thing about a person is if you are just authentically yourself, I'm gonna love you no matter what.
She's also openly liberal, and she's also openly like sex positive. So I think it's a win.
So is Maggie. Maggie is super like openly liberal from the show. Who are some of the other ones from the show that we should be like rooting for this season? That would be a good way to kind of end this. Who should we be rooting for this season? Yeah.
Maggie, Chelsea,
love
Bree,
Chelsea,
Michelle,
I love. We're from, okay, Michelle. So fun fact about Minnesota, because Michelle is from Edina. So Edina is the very first wealthy suburb of the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. We call them cake eaters. So my mom and I both watching The Bachelor when we see Michelle, who we both want to win, by the way, she's our favorite. We are both like Team Michelle 100%, but we're like the cake eaters on. So
I love that.
Do you know what's wild about The Bachelor this season is like I like so many of these women. So I feel like this is like probably the most progressive cast in general.
Well, because it's the most diverse.
Time. Yeah,
and everyone, but also progressive. Yeah,
literally everyone that I am rooting for to win, I'm like, oh wait, the prize is Matt.
Oops.
But that's why I've been rooting for Katie for The Bachelorette since night one.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't even, like, my friend Caitlin and I both watched The Bachelor. I don't have a lot of friends that watch it, which is why I love communicating with you guys online, because I don't have enough of it in my life. So, but we do, like, a power ranking or whatever. So I had Katie as my number 5 in parentheses Bachelorette since night one. So for me, like, the people that I really want to do well, I'm almost like, I hope you make it on Paradise or like become super popular just in the zeitgeist to get treated wonderfully and some wonderful man or woman, whoever, is going to sweep you off your feet and you're going to be happy. But usually I don't want them to end up with The Bachelor. Yeah.
No.
Or at least you make the most money.
Yes.
Yeah. I will settle for you making a fuck ton of money.
Yes. I want good things for your life, not necessarily Matt. I do have to say, though, I am tentatively liking Matt. I don't think we would be friends. We wouldn't hang out. We wouldn't or anything like that. But on a whole, I am not against him. Like I have been with every other Bachelor or Bachelorette.
Certainly. No, when we put him in comparison to the other ones, he is wonderful and great. And he's very attractive. And he's nice. He's gentle with the women. He seems like he's listening, you know, like I think like I look back at Colton and Peter, they weren't really listening.
All
when
he says is I love that.
It's well, like so did SNL. Ari. Yeah. So did Ari. So let's not get too deep, but no, I think that, you know, he's doing well and we'll see how it goes. I mean, it's also, it's just a It's a very lively season and something that's very compelling, and it's at times can be exhausting because of like the bullying and all the other things that are going on.
I wish we could talk for 4 hours. You have to meet Keegan. I can't wait for the four of us to get together. You have to come back on. We're definitely finally kind of starting to get guests on the show because we usually record in a teeny tiny closet, but now that the pandemic has happened and we've gotten so good at recording from far away, we finally feel like, okay, let's get some more different people on the show. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I can't tell you how excited I've been about this, that you guys agreed so to do sweet. It and that I was going to actually get to like talk to you in person. I am personally a huge fan of both of yours. I adore both of you so much. So I really appreciate you taking the time and being so here sweet. And being hilarious and wonderful and sharing your thoughts on something that I think a lot of our listeners probably love to hate. Yeah, Bachelor, exactly. You know, so I think
that's the right thing to do.
That's the right thing to do. Hate watch it with us. So yeah, thank you so much for having us. Make sure if you're interested in hearing more of our thoughts,
Please plug yourself some more, please.
We have a date card pod. You can find us on all of the streaming platforms.
Follow them on Instagram. You will not regret it. Trust me. Follow Jenna them on Instagram.
Jenna puts in so much work to that, and I see it sometimes.
I love it.
That's a date card pod on Instagram, and we post memes, commentary, thoughts and feelings, crying, laughing, shitting on people, and a date card podcast on Twitter, and then again our Patreon if you're interested after you fall in love with us at patreon.com/datecardpod. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening and I don't know, whatever. Again, message us only if you like us. Do not message us if you don't.
Oh no, and honestly, I can reassure you.
I'm just kidding.
We are the luckiest people in the world, and we tell our listeners all the time how much we love them because they are like the sweetest cinnamon rolls of people. Like accepting and loving and wonderful. So no, and that's part of the thing is, you know, I want everybody else to fall in love with you as much as I've totally fallen in love with both of you and your show and your Instagram and everything that you stand for. You're wonderful. I love both of you. So thank you so much. I'm going to give my little spiel now at the end so I don't forget. If there's anything that you want me and Keegan to talk about in the news in the future when she gets back, again, we are also setting up our Patreon and setting up merch, and we want to hear from you guys about different content that you want from us, what kind of merch you want. The best way for us to give you what you want is for you to tell us. So go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Direct message us and follow us on Instagram at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Twitter that we never use at YANF Podcast, YANF Podcast. Go to our Facebook business and group page. Chat with the fellow listeners on the group page and rate and review us on that Facebook page. When you're done there, hop on over to Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. If you do so, you'll be featured on our Instagram on Tuesday for Reviews Day Tuesday. If you are not tagged in that post, please call yourself out and we will tag you in that Instagram post as well. That's all that we have for you today. It's so funny. We do this thing when we sign off. I say, that's all we have for you today. With all that being said, we encourage you to. And then we both say, rage on. Mm-hmm. And I've never had to end an episode where it wasn't just Keegan and I. So I think I'm just going to say thank you again so much for being here. I appreciate both of you so much for taking the time. And that's it. How are you supposed to end a podcast?
Fart noises. Yeah.
All right, pressing stop now.
As you should.